and welcome to Travel Along with Laura, the show where you travel along with me. I'm your host, Laura Lesensky, and today we are headed to the beautiful and extremely chill island of Key Calker. Here, their motto is go slow, and if you're rushing down the street, people will remind you of that. This island is very close to Belize City, and it's really easy to get to. On this trip, I'm traveling with my girlfriend, Carrie. We've already been to San Ignacio for the jungle adventure portion of the trip, and now it's time for some island vibes. In this episode, I'll go over the differences between San Pedro and Key Calker, two islands very close together, near Belize City, but pretty different, so you can determine which one is right for you. We'll talk about some encounters with marine life you can have without even leaving the island. We'll discuss how to get there, where to stay, and where to eat and drink. We'll talk about tours you can do from the island, and I'll take you spearfishing with us. This was a really unique and incredible experience. So come along with me to Key Calker, Belize.
Put its hand out again. See that?
Yeah. That was the splash
of a stingray.
Oh, there's one right there.
So if you're planning a trip to Belize, the ultimate question you have to answer is which island? So you could head to the southern coast and hit the beach towns of Placencia or Hopkins, or you can go to the wonderful and very accessible islands close to Belize City. Most people end up going to San Pedro or Key Calker. Basically, the same tours are available from both. There's snorkeling tours, there's fishing tours, there's all kinds of cool stuff to see in the area. If you're a diver, this is a big location to go to the Blue Hole. You can also easily visit one island from the other. So the question is, what do you want the vibe to be like where you're staying? San Pedro is bigger, more people go there, there's more high-end resorts, there's more restaurants, and the way you get around is on golf carts. Key Calker is much smaller. There's just one main street. You can walk the whole island in 20 minutes. It still has a lot of cute little restaurants and bars. It's more of a backpacker paradise. Golf carts are still the vehicle of choice, but you don't need one because nothing is far away. We rode on one only once. Our apartment manager picked us up in one to take us there with our luggage. So there's all kinds of tours, but there's also a huge amount of wildlife, marine wildlife, that you can see on the island just walking around. So one of the fun and free things you can do on the island is head to the Iguana Reef Inn in the late afternoon. So each day the owner there feeds the scraps from that day's fishing to the rays. So around 4:30, the rays all just start coming in, expecting their treat.
These fish look so funny.
Yeah, they're
so big, just chilling. We only need 6 inches of water. We're cool.
It was so crazy to just stand in the shallow part of the ocean, and these stingrays would just swim right up to you, right over your feet.
They're so pretty.
It was so cool to see them just glide right in. And if you really want to get up close with the rays and with sharks, if you do a snorkeling tour, they'll often take you to Shark Ray Alley. Another thing you cannot miss on this island, this is one of my favorite things we did, so random, is feeding the tarpons.
Wow. How long have you been doing this?
We've been here for 14 years.
Cool.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. And what's your name?
I'm Lilia.
Lilia.
Yeah.
I'm Laura.
Hi, Laura.
And?
Carrie.
Nice to meet you.
Same here.
So for $5 Belizean, she'll give you a little pile of fish and show you how to feed them.
Okay. So I have just bought a plate of fish. I've been instructed to hold them between my thumb and hand. by the tail and hold them a foot above the water, and the fish are gonna jump up.
This is frightening. These are enormous,
I know.
Enormous fish. I got scared and I dropped it. Okay.
After a few more tries, I was starting to get the hang of it.
Okay, that's good to know.
They don't have anything.
Because, yeah, they hit you pretty hard.
They do hit you pretty hard.
Like, they really...
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Okay. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Done it 3 times, and I'm not less scared each time.
A little higher.
Yeah. The dog barked, and I jumped.
Sure.
Take over.
They're really big fish.
Take over.
And they jump stop the really high. Okay.
Maybe he's not even the biggest one here right now.
Really?
Yeah. They can grow like up to 8 feet and weigh like 300 pounds.
Wow.
What?
Yeah. There, when they
That's
get
crazy.
Like, so these here are juveniles. So when they get like maybe 4.5, maybe 5 feet, they leave the area completely.
Mm.
They start going for about 4 feet, they start going. They leave and they come back. They leave and they come back. So eventually they leave and they don't come back.
Okay, try not to get scared, all right?
Yeah,
I'll try.
Sure, try not to get scared. Okay.
They're taking a video.
This is it, Carrie.
That's why you have to have your fingers straight and flat out.
Not
sideways, not like this.
Oh, I didn't
straight
hear that.
And flat out. So when they come up, they do.
I see.
Yeah. Wow. Well, you did great.
Thank you.
Oh my gosh. What is it about these fish that make them do that? Are they?
They're natural. Naturally, they live in under the mangroves. That's where they grow.
Okay.
So, whatever comes over them, whatever passes over them. Dragonfly, butterfly, whatever, flies, spiders, they would jump after that.
Okay.
Right?
Okay, so they're used to getting
things like...
When
they get a little bigger, they start coming out from under the mangroves, and they do the same. If a leaf falls, they jump after it.
Okay.
But they spit it up because they know it's not food.
Right.
Yeah?
Wow.
Cool.
Wow. That is so crazy.
Glad we did this.
So you can find this place on Google Maps. Look for the Tarpon Feeding Dock. It's not far from the place you see the rays. In fact, if you go to my Patreon page, you'll see a Google Map where I tag all of the things that I talk about in this episode. Also, these slow-mo videos we took were amazing. I'll put them on Patreon too. You have to go check them out. What a souvenir. And we couldn't even tell at the time, but Carrie's hand is like all the way down this fish's throat. It's insane. Go look at it. So glad we did this. So let's talk about getting to Keekalker. We had a real long day of travel to get there because that morning we had actually come all the way from Flores, Guatemala. So we took a shuttle all the way to Belize City, then arrived at the ferry terminal and got our ticket to the island. So there's multiple companies that run ferries between Belize City, Keekalker, and San Pedro. But the one that has the most frequent ferries is the San Pedro Belize Express. You can get tickets at BelizeWaterTaxi.com. But we never got our tickets in advance. We just showed up and it worked fine. When we left the island, I just swung by the ferry terminal and bought the ticket earlier that morning so we didn't have to stand in line when there was a boat about to leave. But the ferry terminal in Belize City is an easy taxi ride from the airport. There is not a bus that goes there from the airport very easily. So just grab a taxi. And the beauty of both these islands, San Pedro and Keekalker,
is that it's really easy to get to from Belize City. So unless your flights are poorly timed, you actually don't need to spend a night in Belize City. On the way out, we had a flight around noon, and that actually gave us plenty of time to leave Key Cocker, get a ferry, and get to the airport in the morning. Arriving on that ferry was so great. This little island was so chill, so cute. I was so excited. Took forever for us to get our checked luggage back once we got off, but we didn't care. We were on island time now. So there's all kinds of tours that you can take from the island. You can do fishing tours, snorkeling tours, diving tours. There are night snorkeling tours, all kinds of fun stuff. And you just walk up and down that main road. There's dozens of tour companies offering these excursions. So you can plan ahead and set one up, but it's also totally fine to just go and decide what you want to do that day. So we had only 2 full days there, which was not nearly enough. We wanted to do a lot of these activities, but we also didn't want to spend both of our days on organized tours. We also wanted to just chill and explore the island, which was correct. I could have spent weeks just wandering that tiny island, eating, drinking, putting my body in the ocean. It was a great place. But we were torn on what kind of tour we wanted to do because we really wanted to do a fishing tour and we wanted to go snorkeling, but we only had one day. We were hoping we might find kind of a combo tour that did both, but we asked all over the island. The only way we could figure out how to do it was a private tour, which was very, very expensive. And then we saw one place offering spearfishing. So we figured that was kind of a combo in itself, and certainly something I've never done before. So we signed up with a little company called Seagrass. So the next morning, we showed up for our tour, met our Captain Breeze and the 3 other people we would be going with. We all tried on flippers and snorkel masks and got ready to get on the boat. So we headed out to sea for about 30 minutes. We could still see the island, but we were a good ways from shore. Then we got our instructions about how to do this.
Now we got some fish here we can shoot. Fish like these. All these ones here, yes. From here to here, from here to here. This one only. All the rest, no.
So we're looking at a chart here with pictures of all these different kinds of fish, trying to make sense of how they look different.
Then you have the barracuda you can shoot, and the groupers. These are angel fish? No, we don't shoot angel fish. We don't shoot parrot fish, right? But you see what happened is against the law to take them back to the island.
Yeah, okay.
But what happened, you keep the reef healthy.
Yeah, yeah.
So if everybody comes and shoot one,
yeah,
we won't have any.
Yeah.
Right? So we don't try not to make anybody shoot it. Now you can shoot the squid, you can shoot octopus, and you can shoot lobster, and you can shoot crab. Right?
Are they easy to like?
No, you take the gun and shoot it.
Yeah, okay. I don't know, it's that hard
the lobster
shell,
would be
isn't it?
No.
The octopus would hide away, though, man.
So my head was already reeling from trying to keep track of which of these fish I could catch and which I couldn't. And then it was time to learn how to use the spear gun. So the part that you held did kind of look like a gun with a trigger, but then it stuck out for about 1 meter. And on the other end is where you would slide in the long spear. It would click into place. And then you had a long rubber band that you would pull back. It was difficult to do. You'd pull it back and clip it in so that when you pulled the trigger, it released the rubber band and the spear would shoot through the water.
The idea of shooting, you go down a little bit in the water. If you can shoot from the top, but sometimes with the waves, they move you.
Oh, yeah.
The movie, you don't get a perfect shot, right? But if you just sink down a little bit, you get a better shot, better aim, right? So this come, and this go in this hole here in the front, right? And just sets like that, the rubber goes on top, right? This have a safety, That's for fire. That's for safety.
I'm more scared of like people shooting me by accident.
See this under the string?
Right.
You keep that distance from each other.
Yeah.
Right? If you're swimming together. And everything gonna be good. So we don't want to, hey, I shot you, I'm sorry, I did that. No, we don't want to hear that. No. I've been doing this more than 28 years now, and no one ever shot each other.
Really? That's
good to know. Good. Right? Yeah. That's what you're telling us,
right?
No one ever shot each other yet.
And we all got in. We definitely were all keeping our distance from each other. I was a little nervous. I kept popping up to make sure Carrie was still okay, but Breeze was watching us from the boat. The sea was a bit choppy, so it wasn't really easy swimming around and trying to maneuver with this giant spear gun. It was very good exercise. So it took me a while before I actually aimed at something and pulled the trigger. At first, I was just snorkeling. There I was on a coral reef. Schools of colorful tropical fish were swimming around me. I was in awe. So it was really strange to then be like, okay, which one of these can I kill? I mean, I'm a biology teacher, but I'm also a badass. So I soon adjusted. Once I was ready to fully embrace the spear fishing, I found that the spear gun wasn't as scary as I first thought. I mean, it wouldn't be good if it hit you at close range, but it is not sharp. And it doesn't move fast through the water. So the spear is connected to the gun with a rope, so you can pull it back again. And after tapping a couple of fish, I learned that that is not the range of the weapon. You've got to be really pretty close to a fish to make it work. Like, you have to have the end of the gun a foot or two away, max. This is not easy to do, as fish like to swim away from you. I spent a lot of time trying to hover inconspicuously outside a hole a fish swam into, waiting for it to come out. I was trying to sneak around the corners of the coral reef, hoping to find a fish on the other side. It was also hard because I wanted to be sure I was aiming for a fish I was allowed to kill, and I kept second-guessing myself. Here's Carrie and I talking about it afterwards.
And then the first place was challenging because the waves were really big. It was windy and colder in the morning, I think, probably just because it was our first stop and it was earlier, the weather. But I felt like I was just trying to survive. It was hard enough to swim and snorkel and then also hold a spearfishing gun that I was not yet comfortable using.
Right. The first time I shot mine, reloading it at that first location took quite a bit of time to figure out.
I hadn't yet learned to stick my head under the water and just float and load it underwater. I was trying to tread water, and that was impossible.
After a while, we moved to a second location. This one was way better. We were all starting to get the hang of it. I now was feeling super badass. I was learning the kinds of places fish hide and sneaking up on them. I was getting better and better with the snorkel and able to dive down deeper. I was shooting and reloading without even coming up.
Oh my god, I hit the same one twice. I was like,
did you?
Just by the end, I was like, ooh, I'm gonna dive down and get these guys. And I was really getting.
Yeah, I was.
Like, I looked good doing it. I know I looked good. In the end, it was unsuccessful.
I know, I just felt like if I had just a little bit more time, I was going to get one.
Yeah, I feel like this place is better than the other place.
For sure.
I was having so much fun. I didn't want to go when it was time.
But the time went so quick. The hour since,
I know, that is crazy.
Yeah.
It really went so quick. I was shocked at what time it was.
Yeah.
I'm so glad we did this.
Me too.
It's very cool.
It was so strangely peaceful and beautiful and also challenging and made me feel strong. And most of all, I really, really wanted to get a fish.
The second spot was where it's at. It was, the sun came out, the waves were less.
I saw a spotted eagle ray that may or may not have been pregnant.
How did you know that's what it was?
Because I came back and I asked Breeze. I told him what I saw and he told me to describe it. And he said, that's a spotted eagle ray.
Wow. How did it compare to the ones we saw the other day?
It was 3 times the size.
That's...
It was gigantic. It made me feel intimidated.
It's like the size of a car.
It was huge. It was huge. I saw a pretty decently sized shark that was larger than me. That also intimidated me. But when I saw those, and another ray that was a little bit smaller, that was also the same kind, the spotted eagle ray.
That's crazy.
But in that area, there were a lot of juicy, meaty-looking fish that looked like they were the kind that we could shoot, and so it was exciting.
Well, that was the other thing that was hard, is not being confident about what I could shoot and what I couldn't. I didn't want to shoot something that was protected or important to the reef.
Or too small.
Right.
Like the first conch that I found, I was very excited. The first conch that I found that was alive. He said, great. It's way too small. If you want to keep this as a souvenir, you can. I said, just for a little bit. We'll throw it back in the water in a little bit.
Because right now it's all I have.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we were successful in catching conch. We caught 4, and they are currently cleaning them for us, and we'll bring them somewhere to grill up for dinner. I want to do that every day.
Yeah, me too.
I want to become a spearfishing expert.
I want to get good at it. Also, did you see all the urchin?
Yes.
So many.
Yeah.
And I swam back to ask him, can I get these? And he said, no, don't get them. And I was like, why not? Because they're too spiny. And then he explained later that they're too poisonous and hard to handle. But, you know, delicious.
That was awesome.
They were cool looking. They were a lot larger than I thought they would be.
I have seen a lot of urchins, and I've never seen urchins that big.
Right.
They were really, really big.
Yeah. When you look at, like, tide pools or other snorkeling, they're, like, maybe the size of a grapefruit. These were, like, basketballs.
Yeah.
But the spikes made them even larger.
So Breeze had found us somebody to clean all of the group's fish and our conch. One person in the group caught a lionfish. This is very cool for 2 reasons. One is they're invasive, so it's great for the reef if we can get them. The other is they are delicious. I had lionfish for the first time on Keekalker, and it was absolutely amazing. Highly recommend. Unfortunately, the guy cleaning the fish stabbed himself with one of the spines of the lionfish, and his whole hand was swelling up. I don't recommend touching them. There are a number of restaurants on the island that you can bring fish to, and they'll prepare it for you. So we took ours to Swings Restaurant and Bar. This place is appropriately named because the seats at the bar are actually swings.
Would you cook it for us?
Yeah, if you bring it by, definitely I could cook it for you.
Yeah, okay. Can it be better grilled or ceviche or fried or what?
Usually I wrap it in a foil with veggies in it, and I put it right on the grill. It's very good like that. Or you could do half and half. Put half in the foil and half in ceviche. It's up to you guys.
Okay, cool. Okay.
Yeah.
Alright, we'll go get it.
Alright, thank you.
We actually didn't love the half that was grilled. It was real heavy on the black pepper, and I just didn't really love the spices involved. The half that was ceviche, though, was very good. And in general, this restaurant seemed really good. They had fun cocktails. It's a place I would recommend checking out. So let's talk about other places to eat and drink. I had 2 favorite places, probably, on the island. One was Roy's Blue Water Grill. This is where we got the lionfish. Delicious place for dinner. But if you go to only one place on this island, go to the Pelican Bar.
and go at sunset. Go a little early so you can get the perfect seat. Get a beer and some ceviche. This place was recommended as the best ceviche on the island, and it was wonderful. And watch the pelicans. It's also aptly named. Watch the pelicans fly around, and the rays start to come in. Do watch out for the sand fleas, though. Bring some bug spray. Oh no, the other best place on the island is the grilled lobster. So in the afternoon, there's a whole string of places that will pull lobster right out of the ocean and grill them right in front of you. Delicious. And the atmosphere there was fun.
Hello, everybody!
That is the happiest seller of baked goods I've ever met.
I like it.
Another place on the island you need to know about is called the Split. So this is an area in the island. The island's actually divided by a canal called the Split. Everywhere you need to go is on the southern part of the island, south of the Split. The Split is also the best place to swim. There aren't really any beaches on the island. This is the best place to swim, but it's not quite a beach. This is one advantage to San Pedro that they have above Key Calker, I think. But you can get in the water there, and it's lovely. So the famous place at the Split is called the Lazy Lizard. This is a really big bar. It's very much a party scene. We really enjoyed going to a place called the Sip and Dip. This is a place that has tables and chairs in the water, so you're sitting in the water as you have your drinks. It was pretty cool. As far as where to stay, there's nowhere that's really out of the way. The island is so small, there's no bad area. We stayed in an apartment this time, which was really nice to be able to have a kitchen and a little more room. So we stayed at Axios Sun Apartments. We found them on booking.com, and they were simple, but a wonderful location in the middle of everything, clean and great. Totally recommend Axios Sun Apartments. So it's time for the things I would have done if had I had more time. Mostly just relaxed more, spent more time eating, drinking, hanging out on this island. I loved it there. It was wonderful. The second thing I would have done with even more time is all the snorkeling tours we didn't get to do. We didn't get to see Shark Ray Alley, a lot of the major places that you go. And the last thing that we considered that would have been amazing is a multiple-day sailing trip down the coast of Belize. There's a place called Raga Sailing Adventures that you can do that through. They're really highly rated, so look into that if you're interested. So that was the end of our Belize adventure. It came way too soon. We were really not ready to leave this island. It was pretty funny on the ferry out of there back to Belize City. We certainly felt we were not alone in that sentiment. On the way to the island, the atmosphere was very enthusiastic. On the way from the island, everyone looked real sad. But it was time to go back to the paying job and real life. I sure was glad I had made it to Belize. Thank you so much for listening. If you like my podcast, please let me know. Give me a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. Go check out my Patreon page. You can join my mailing list for free. You can see videos and pictures from my trips. And if you really want to show me you like my podcast, you can join for just $2 or $5 a month. It would mean so much to me, and I'll give you a shout out on the podcast. Or follow Travel Along with Laura on Facebook or Instagram. Coming up next, while we were in Belize, we were so close to these magical Mayan ruins of Tikal in Guatemala. So we hopped on over the border and spent a few nights in Flores and visited Tikal. And you can go there with me on my next episode. Thanks for traveling along with me.
grapefruit.
1, 2, 3, basketballs.
1, 2, 3, volleyballs.
Basketballs.
Oh.